Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. Hello, hi. How are you guys? I am so happy to be back here with you guys. I went on vacation this past week, and it was much needed. And I want to let you know that this is Palma Talk Radio, and you're listening to Faith Ignited. I'm your host, Nancy. I hope you stay with me for a little while. My podcast has always been about bringing just cool stories, good stories, stories that turned out to be great because of God's work, because of God's hands. And I feel so incredibly blessed to be able to be here to tell you guys about, if you've never been to the islands of Hawaii, and particularly Ko'olina or Kapolei in Oahu, Hawaii. That is where we were for a beautiful, glorious 9 days. And talk about Faith Ignited. I'm back with such a fever inside. Like a, something inside of me that knows that through my stories, through the stories I tell here, stories about how God changes things for people. He changes outcomes, and what we think we need is not necessarily what we always need. We think we need God to give us this, this, and this, and it has to be in this order, and it has to go at this time frame, and it has to be within this amount of money or whatever you guys decide on. But that God knows what is best for us, and no matter what, if we ask for his guidance and direction, he will be there to do that. In coming back from Hawaii, I cannot tell you the beauty that my eyes saw. I cannot tell you the beauty that and warmth that my heart felt. Thank you to my husband who works so hard to be able to take me to places like that. And I am so incredibly grateful. And I thought it would be cool to start the first half of our show this evening with a little bit of Portuguese history tied into our little Hawaiian trip to Hawaii. I wanted to read you guys a little bit about the Portuguese influence in Hawaii. You would not believe it's so prevalent. And so I found a story that talks about how our cuisine and culture, how it contributed to the palate of those in Hawaii, those the ancestors' recipes and all of that. And I know that there's a huge Portuguese influence. I didn't know a lot of information, but I found a little article that I wanted to read you guys. It's very interesting. If you've never experienced Hawaii, let me bring you just a glimpse of what the food is like there, just so that you guys can have an idea of our Portuguese culture, since we are part of the Luso-American community, which means first generation Portuguese Americans, Portuguese Canadians, first generation. We are the ones that are trying to keep everything alive and with Pama now. Thank you, those of you who are listening. Thank you to those that will listen, and thank you to those that are listening with me now. If this is your first time here, welcome. It's nice to finally meet you. If this is your returning visit with me here on Fridays, welcome back. So happy to have you here with me today. But I think learning about some Portuguese influence in the Hawaiian cuisine and culture is going to be cool little facts for today. And let's get into it. Oh, I almost forgot. Let's light our candle. We haven't lit our candle in 2 weeks. Let's light this baby up. Here we go. Matchbook. Open this up. Grab one out of here. And oh, there we go. Light that up. All right, everybody, welcome. We are now back in Hawaii, where I'm going to try to bring a little Hawaiian background music with the ukulele, sounds of the ukulele, and read you guys a little story here. So this article was written, and it is called The Iberian Connection to Hawaii's Cuisine and Culture. The Portuguese connection to Hawaii's cuisine and culture. Posted by Tanya Joaquin, August 11th, 2020. Drive around town, listen to Hawaii radio, or stop at the store, and notable Portuguese influences on Hawaii's cuisine and culture can be seen, heard, and tasted around the islands. On any given day, it's a waiting game for malasadas at Leonard's Bakery, a modern-day version of the hot, deep-fried Portuguese donuts first introduced to Hawaii in the late 19th century by immigrants from the Azores and Madeira. They left their homelands to seek work on the sugar plantations and sought comfort food from home. Portuguese bean soup, Portuguese sausage, and pão doce, or sweetbread. Portuguese sweetbread malasadas were baked in large outdoor stove ovens called furnu. The mostly Catholic Portuguese would make malasadas to use up the sugar, milk, and butter on the day before the Lenten fasting began. The rise of King's Hawaiian sweetbread started with the son of Okinawan immigrants who moved to Hawaii Islands in 1906 to work on the plantations. Robert Tyra opened Robert's Bakery in Hilo some 6 decades after Portuguese plantation workers introduced their food to Hawaii. Inspired by traditional Portuguese recipes, this is where he made his first loaves of what is now a household name, King's Hawaiian Sweetbread, named after the bakery he later opened on King Street. Wow. Paniolo culture and musical influence. Hawaii's cowboy, the Paniolo, is a direct descendant of the vaquero. King Kamehameha commissioned Spanish cowboys to Hawaii in 1830 in response to the overpopulation from a cattle gift that came with the arrival of Western ships. The vaqueros started settling in Waimea, teaching cattle herding, ranching, and horsemanship, and much more. The cowboys brought along their guitars, jamming around the campfire, inspiring a new style of steel guitar and a slack key guitar music that together with their traditional chants and rhymes created something uniquely Hawaiian. Hawaiian music artist Kuana Torres Kahale, whose background is Hawaiian and Spanish, honors the Spanish cowboy with the song Na Vaqueros. The song is a blend of Spanish, Hawaiian, Portuguese language, and a bona fide hit, winning the 2012 Nahoko Hanohano Award for Song of the Year. Wow. Long before King Kalakaua brought the ukulele to the masses and Jake Shimabukura helped elevate the humble instrument, the Portuguese immigrants made a splash with their machetes. Madeira Islanders recently arrived here, have been delighting the people with nightly street concerts, says a story dated September 3rd, 1879, in the Hawaiian Gazette, which describes strange instruments which are kind of crossed between a guitar and a banjo, but which produce very sweet music. 3 immigrants relocated to Honolulu after completing their contractual obligation on the plantations to make musical instruments. Historians credit Manuel Nunes, José do Espírito Santo, and Augusto Dias from Madeira as Hawaii's original ukulele makers. Wow, guys, that's pretty incredible, right? That's pretty incredible. With such notable Portuguese influences, the island of Hawaii is the perfect host for the 6-course Portuguese feast featuring 6 world-class chefs, including José Garces and Margarida Monsky. So, this goes on to talk about the Spanish influence on that side. So they would show the Hawaiian women step by step the techniques for boiling plantains, ricing them and then deliberately overworking the rice plantains to put their natural starches to work, cohering into soft, malleable, elastic dough. No flour, no butter, no shortenings, just boiled green plantains, a little salt. How beautiful is that? On a scale of the big revelations in my cooking career, it's way up there. In fact, Amanda's empanadas is a permanent item on the menu. And Amanda, my first restaurant, named for my grandmother, of course, it's one small way I pay homage to the undisputed master of empanadas. Garces looks forward to bringing his cultural traditions to his Portuguese feast course. My plan is to come as close as I can to the original flavors while incorporating ingredients from Hawaii. I'll be using Maui beef, macadamia nuts in place of pine nuts, Big Island goat cheese instead of blue cheese, and dates for the prunes. Jose Garces' recipe is here if you guys want it, but he says here that she showed him step by step the technique for boiling everything. And we have here acclaimed Los Angeles pastry chef Margarita Mansky has a similar cultural connection to the cuisine, learning her trade at her family's restaurant in the Philippines, saying, "I was exposed to so many different flavors and cuisines as a young child. The Philippines is a melting pot of different culinary influences from Spain, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan, and America. With such notable Portuguese influences, the island of Hawaii is the perfect host for the Portuguese feast. It's been, this is Iron Chef here, Jose Garces. His first cooking teacher was his paternal grandmother, Amada, whose specialty was empanadas de verde. There you go. And he brought that to Hawaii. And then we brought the malasadas, which we brought those into the Hawaiian Islands as well. So speaking of malasadas, this is what another article from robertshawaii.com. Of course, I love you, baby, if you're listening. Robertshawaii.com says, the malasada is small deep-fried dough confection has become integrated into the broad spectrum of local food. The Portuguese sweet treat was first brought to Hawaii by the Portuguese laborers from the Azores who came to work in the sugar plantations. It can be mostly described as a donut without a hole. It is known as a flor in Portuguese. Traditionally prepared for Mardi Gras celebration when Catholic Portuguese in Hawaii would need to use up all their butter and sugar before the start of fasting for Lent, the The mullah's Sadish presence has far surpassed the religious context of their introduction to Hawaii. Indeed, the mullah's Sada is unbelievable, and it is always at a Hawaiian gathering. Whether it's an office birthday party, a Little League post-game potluck, or a baby's first birthday luau, there always seems to be at least one box of the sugary treats at any gathering that involves food. Leonard's Bakery in Kapahulu on Oahu is most famous maker of mullah's Sadish today. Tourists and locals alike line up daily for pink boxes of fresh mullah's Sadish served hot. Leonard's can make well over 1,000 mullah's Sadish in one single day. There are many other mullah's Sadish makers in Hawaii, including Ihia Bakery on Oahu, Punalu Bakery on Hawaii Island, Lulu's on Maui, and Kauai mullah's Sadish are also popular spots for locals, tourists seeking the mullah's Sadish warm, chewy goodness. The annual Puahu Carnival on Oahu, which welcomes tons of thousands of attendees each year, is famous for its mullah's Sadish tent. It is where families and friends agree to meet or regroup. It is a veritable beehive of activity. During the run of a two-day event, hundreds of volunteers will make a staggering amount of the much-loved pastry, a number that routinely reaches into the thousands of thousands. Although mullah's Sadish are traditionally made without any filling, over the years, mullah's Sadish makers have introduced a variety of doughs and fillings. Most popular among these additions are haupia, which is coconut pudding, guava, passion fruit, sweet cream, and chocolate dobash. Of course, many Hawaiian families forego the trip to the bakery for mullah's Sadish and instead make the cherished confections themselves, employing long-held family recipes in tradition that goes back generations. Like so many things of Hawaii, mullah's Sadish came from far away and have become an iconic part of Hawaii's diverse cultural melting pot. There you go. That's so much information about our Portuguese influence in the cuisine in Portugal, from Portugal to Hawaii, and what the plantation laborers, military, also went to Hawaii. Our military men from the islands. And I just found it fascinating to learn about how that all got started. I hope you guys found that interesting enough. And I am getting it into my second story here. But I wanted to tell you guys that the Portuguese food is yummy there. The Portuguese little influences that we see on dishes with the linguiça, they love linguiça in Hawaii. They have their own linguiça plant, I believe, yeah. So if you get a chance to go to Hawaii, if you get a chance to go to Oahu, which is an island that my husband and I are pretty proficient in where and when to go and what to order and where to get it. So if you guys are planning a trip to Hawaii soon and you would like to know where some of our favorite Portuguese restaurants are in Hawaii, please let me know and I will definitely point you in the right direction, especially if those hot pink box I ate 2 or 3 on the way home. Yes, I did. And they were absolutely incredible. And so let's get into our little faith story today and see what we have in store for us. A quick little story that I found here that I want to read you guys. I thought it was important to read. And let me switch up the music and let's get into our story. Mahalo nui loa for listening. Mahalo means thank you in Hawaiian. Nui means very much. Nui loa means very much. Mahalo nui loa. Thank you very much. And aloha, everybody knows that word. If you just know those two words, you would get very far on the island of Hawaii and any of the islands. Everyone is so friendly. It's a different vibe. It's a different feeling. A lot of people say it reminds them of the Azores, and I believe that. The lush greenery, I believe that it reminds them of the Azores. So if you ever get a chance, go check out Leonard's. Go check out some of the restaurants that I can tell you about. And I'm glad that we read that together. I feel like I learned a few things that I did not know. So let's get into our story. I want to bring it down a little bit. Bring the vibe down a little bit. Let's get cozy and comfy. Let's sit in our space wherever you are listening to this podcast. I wanted to read you guys a story about a girl named Sophia. And Sophia, like many other people, raised in a very strict household. Seventh-day Adventist church. It was so forced upon her that she wanted nothing to do with it as she got older, and that included God. And so I have a story here that talks about Sophia and what she felt the moment that she changed her mind and came back to God. Well, I'm not sure my story is a conversion story. So much as standing in the middle of a great sea of not knowing, I was raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. I never believed as a child that I was the girl who stopped believing in Santa Claus when I left a plate of cookies out beneath our tree and they were still there the next morning. I prayed to God as a child when my grandmother was first diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. I don't know whether or not anyone listened to me. My family never forced me to believe, but it was encouraged by my environment to assume what everyone else was saying. As a young adult, I went from an angry atheist to where I am now, ambivalent and not really caring of what camp I fit into anymore. I've had a lot of interesting experiences which I don't necessarily believe are shared by others. They just seem to be a part of my personal journey. I've let go of my militant atheism, as so I don't feel I fit into this world. And like her, there's many, many people raised in the church that leave when they are adults and they have kids. And she says here, I left Christianity trying to find an escape from the conformity. I experienced and thought atheism as a movement, as opposed to a viewpoint that would provide me with the freedom I sought instead. I ran into some of similar hostility I was trying to get away from. Atheism is as social movement group suffers from the same issues as Christianity as a group or movement. I find being a woman of color in a largely white male world of extremely isolating experience. I found that I was often belittled and spoken down to by angry young men who treated me as though I was infringing on them in some way. I was getting bored with the endless rants about theism and bad jokes made at the expense of Christians. I honestly felt like it was a frat party. Any sort of deviation from that typical party line would be met with anger, rebuttals about how you're not a true atheist. I'm not the only one who has experienced this. Alan DeBotone talked about this in an interview he gave for his book. I've met some mean Christians, but there was something particularly cruel in the remarks of atheists, fellow atheists. On another level, I am an extremely sensual individual. I don't consider myself to be highly intelligent and find intellectualism is a heavy dose, cold and divorced from reality. I have tried to get into the philosophy, but find a lot of it to be the whispering of old cynical men who never quite mastered the art of living. I struggled to keep up with the conversations. I got tired of hearing people repeat the same facts over and over again. I don't think atheism makes one more intelligent than a Christian by default. A lot of people that I know from atheist circles didn't strike me as unique or anything special. They were just aggressive, one-track-minded, and relentless. If they won a debate, it wasn't out of wit, but refusal to admit defeat. At the end of the day, I started getting frustrated. I felt like I wasn't growing as an individual. I don't think there's anything wrong with atheism as a philosophy or whatever people want to consider it these days. I wasn't a big fan of what I saw and experienced. When I went into atheism, I allowed myself to shed the last vestiges of my old faith from my shoulders. But after a while, there's only so much of Stephen Hawking one can take. I wanted more for my life and myself. Nowadays, I do what I want. I'm curious about everything. I have learned to listen more and think on my experiences. I have no idea what is really out there. A personal God? Maybe. What we know is true, guys. I believe human beings are more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. Every day is a new experience for me. I just couldn't walk through life with a singular mindset. I'm always asking questions. I listen and challenge everyone to prove me wrong. I don't hate what I thought was hating God, being angry with God. I accept that it is something I probably will never fully know or understand unless proven otherwise. God can sometimes be a theory for me, a word with many meanings. I have learned there are many people out there who are filled with wisdom. It is really up to you, the individual, to interpret that wisdom for yourself and see whether it lines up with your worldview. Some might be interesting people I've met, but none of the ones make a grandiose claim about the nature of reality. They aren't affiliated with a belief system. They're just people who lived and loved and learned. I know there is a God out there somewhere now. I know he is closer to me. I feel his presence with me now. I don't ignore the feelings that I get from God. The cues that I receive from the Lord, I do not take lightly. I have changed my mindset completely and have really become sort of embarrassed of my participation in that philosophy of atheism. But now that I know God and I feel God, I know that He is with me and He has helped me to change my soul and my spirit. And maybe He can help you. I see God in the ocean, in the heart, in people. You'll never know if you don't try to find it. Amen, amen, amen. Just an example of someone who went into a direction that they don't believe in what they've been taught their entire lives. They don't believe it. They don't want to understand it. But as Sophia says here in her article, she sees God now in the eyes of a child in the ocean, in the heart, in people's actions, in our actions. And it is stories like that, excuse me, that bring me so much hope and feeling of good news that one person at a time. I met a lady, I'm going to call her Auntie. I met Auntie in Hawaii. Auntie is an older lady. It's a respectful term for an older woman. But I met an Auntie, and we started talking about God. We had a beautiful moment. We all held hands. This man was singing and playing the ukulele so beautifully. The guitar that the Portuguese brought to Hawaii. Kawakinsh, the little mini guitars with the excellent resounding sounds. Sounds that pull at the heartstrings, sounds that bring us closer to God. And I'd like to thank Sophia for being so brave and sharing that story, writing that down and sharing it with the world, and be accountable and, you know, feel like she didn't fit in with the other group of people that she thought she knew. But she wanted more, so she found out more. She educated herself more. She grew, and she grew to love God. How, if we could all just remember what Auntie Cheryl said to me in Hawaii, which is that everyone just needs to know that Jesus loves you no matter what. No matter what, he's still loyal and he still loves us. And he still wants the best for us, and he wants to spend time with us, and he wants to help heal us. But we have to ask him for the help. Sometimes pride gets in the way. Sometimes fear gets in the way. But if we don't seek, we will not find. Just as I found this special place with Faith Ignited here with you guys, it means the world to me. If you're listening, my cousin Stephanie and Carlos in Canada, I'm sure my best friend Natalia is watching, listening. My husband, I know. Robert, you're listening. My parents, mom and dad. And maybe it's just my people listening. But you know what? I'm having an amazing time at this podcast. And I hope I'm educating you guys with a little bit more stories of faith and growth and connection in this world with one another. As human beings, we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to the people around us, the people in our lives. We owe it to them to seek and find comfort in the arms of Jesus. It's where I feel my safest. And we are coming up on our hour, you guys. That was so fast. Listen, I'm glad to be back home. I was excited to do my podcast. I was excited to talk about some Hawaiian culture and and how our Portuguese has influenced their culture, and then tell you a story about a girl who thought she didn't believe until she believed. She thought she didn't believe until the day she believed. I wish you guys a beautiful, beautiful weekend. It's supposed to be nice and warm. Enjoy outdoors or whatever you're doing. Know that you can catch this podcast. If you only heard half of it or a little bit of it, that's okay, because Palma Media is so wonderful and replays it Saturday through Wednesday, 10 a.m., 2 a.m., 10 a.m., and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. With all that being said, don't forget our Palma magazine coming out this month for the month of June. Happy Pride to everyone who's listening. Happy Pride. Happy day, happy life. Enjoy your life, enjoy your family, enjoy your kids. And I'll see you right back here again next Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for listening to Faith Ignited, only on Palma Talk Radio, exclusively first on Palma Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a beautiful, blessed night and weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.